Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bancolombia's first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note that this conference call will include forward-looking statements, including statements related to our future performance, capital position, credit-related expenses, and credit losses. All forward-looking statements, whether made in this conference call, in future filings, or in press releases, or verbally, address matters that involve risk and uncertainty. Consequently, there are factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those indicated in such statements, including changes in general economic and business conditions, changes in currency exchange rates and interest rates, introduction of a competing product for other companies, lack of acceptance of new products or services by our targeted clients, changes in business strategy, and various other factors that we describe in our reports filed with the SEC. With us today is Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jaime Velasquez, Chief Strategy and Finance Officer, Mr. Jose Humberto Acosta, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rodrigo Prieto, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Jorge Humberto Hernandez, Chief Accounting Officer, Mr. Alejandro Mejia, Investor Relations Manager, and Mr. Juan Pablo Espinosa, Chief Economist. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Chief Executive Officer of Bancolombia. Mr. Juan Carlos, you may begin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Bancolombia conference call for the first quarter 2019. We had a good quarter. We posted 833 billion pesos in net income, a figure that was positively impacted by lower provision charges. Additionally, the loans originated in 2018 are generating a higher net interest income, and the efficiency levels of the bank continue improving. These trends are in line with our forecasts. Today, I would like to highlight four key topics that are driving our business today: digital strategy, the evolution of the credit demand, the credit cycle, and the regulatory environment. Regarding the status of our digital strategy, we want to share with you some advances in this front, which has permitted to process transactions in a more efficient way and increase our customer base. Today, we process 97% of the total transactions in channels different from branches, and digital sales account for 14% of the total sales as of March 2019. In particular, I want to stress the acceleration of the number of transactions performed through the mobile application, which is growing 45% year on year, and the increasing number of sales of new products through digital channels. We have more than 3.5 million active users on our mobile app. And regarding the number of total clients, we have reached 14.5 million. We have acquired close to 1 million new customers in the last year. With respect to the credit demand, we experienced a quarter with mixed trends among segments. On one hand, consumer loans continue leading the growth, and Bancolombia has gained market share in this segment. Today, we have 17.6% market share in consumer loans in Colombia, which is 300 basis points higher than what we had 3 years ago. This is the result of our strategy to tap our large base of customers and originate loans to the best risk-adjusted returns. On the other hand, commercial loans presented a lower growth during the quarter due to the fact that companies are still cautious executing new projects. This fact causes the overall loan portfolio to grow below our estimates. In aggregate, Our market share by loans in Colombia today is 26.5%, which is the highest in record history. Because of the evolution of the loan growth in the last months of 2019 and the first quarter 19, the net interest income grew 7% year on year. We should see a top line evolution in the year, driven mainly by volumes, not margins, as we expect steadily in both asset yields and cost of funding. Regarding the credit cycle, we are a quarter impacted by seasonal factors. Typically, the first quarter tends to have a higher past due loans formation in consumer and SMEs. This trend was in line with the bank's forecast. This quarter, a client related to the mass transportation system of Bogota became past due. Although the client was in the watch list for several months, it was not delinquent yet, and we already have 67% coverage for the outstanding balance. This client represents 565 billion, or one-third of the new past due loans during the quarter. When we compare the evolution of this quarter versus the same quarter 1 year ago, we confirm the positive trend of the credit cycle. The amount of new past due loans decreased by 25% versus 1 year ago, and the result is an improvement in all credit quality indicators, the reduction of the 90-day past due loan, and the increase of coverage. We still expect the cost of risk for the full year to be around 2%, presenting a reduction versus 2018 when it was 2.3%. Now, I would like to elaborate on the recent regulation initiative that is being discussed by the Congress in Colombia. As many of you know, this regulation intends to eliminate some fees associated with debit and credit cards. This bill has passed two of the four sessions required to become a law. This regulation has several potential outcomes. If approved by Congress, our estimation of the gross potential impact is a reduction of 900 billion in fees for the full year, which could represent around 20% of net income. Currently, we are assessing all the impacts and the measures available to us, as well as the changes and implications for the products. Also, the Banks Association is presenting to Congress the potential negative impacts that this regulation could have on the economy. Finally, I must say that this quarter results were according to our forecast. We see 2019 with a different credit cycle, which will be reflected in lower provision charges. In quality, loan growth, and efficiency, we reaffirm our vision for the year. The quarter also confirms the consolidation of the progress in digital banking and cost optimization. Having said this, I want to ask José Humberto to elaborate on the main topics that are driving our business. José.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. For all of you following the presentation, let me remind you that at the end, you will find additional information that complements the bank's numbers and might be useful. I want to start this presentation making a reference to the performance of international operations, which you can see in slide number 3. In Colombia, Salvador, and Panama, we have seen a positive trend in efficiency resulting from our cost control initiatives and a moderate growth in expenses. These three operations are below 50% today. In coverage, which is the result of improving in credit quality and provision charges that we have done over the last year, all of them are above 150%. Return on equity, which reflects the reduction in the cost of risk in these operations combined with efficiency gains and growth in revenues. On average for the group, the cost of risk for the quarter was 1.7%. The main driver for the overall performance of Bancolombia will be the evolution of the business in Colombia, given the relative weight of this operation. In slide 4, we present the loan growth. The portfolio expanded 10% over the last year, mainly driven by consumer loans. This segment grows more than 22% year-on-year as a result of our strategy to tap our base of existing customers in Colombia and acquire new ones. Commercial loans, on the other hand, are evolving at a moderate pace. We believe that corporations are cautious with their investments program set. The combination of these trends is a change in the mix of the loan portfolio. Consumer loans already account for 19% of the total loan portfolio. This is a very relevant fact because our strategy is to balance the mix in order to obtain better risk-adjusted returns. Bancolombia has more than 26% loan market share in Colombia, and in consumer we reach 17% market share. That put us as the leader across all segments and reaffirms the competitive position of the bank. Also, we want to stress the fact that we are deploying our capital in the lending business, with the loan portfolio representing the largest proportion of the assets. We reaffirm our loan growth for this year will be at around 7%. On slide 5, we see the evolution of margins. In the first quarter of this year, we saw a compression in the reported margins versus the previous quarter of last year. This is mainly the result of a non-recurring positive impact in the last quarter of last year associated to an increase in NII by 120 billion Colombian pesos due basically to the adjustments associated to IFRS 9. Isolated that impact, we have seen stability in both yield on new originations and cost of funding. We don't forecast big variations in margins during the year, and we are expecting a NIM of around 5.8% for 2019. The funding strategy for some geographies will be to replace long-term debt with client deposits and promoting checking and savings accounts. In slide 6, we present provision charges. The three large corporate cases, the red bar in the chart, represented 94 billion in charge during the quarter, or 20 basis points of the reported cost of risk. In the blue bar, we can see a normalized provision cost of 649 billion pesos, which is an improvement in the credit conditions of our loan portfolio. However, we still expect the cost of risk for the full year to be at around 2%, explained mainly by additional provisions in some corporate clients, an update of the parameters and historical data of our risk models that will take place in June and December. The next slide, number 7, shows the quality of the loan portfolio. In this slide, we can see the improvement in the 90-day past due loans and in the coverage ratios. The 90-day past due loan ratio went down to 3.05%. which is an improvement of the loan portfolio across all segments, particularly in Colombia. Regarding the other countries, we do not see a major impact in the trends. The amount of 30-day new past due loans of the quarter is mainly explained by one client in the mass transportation business in Bogota. The client was on the watch list for several months, but it was not past due yet, although we already have 67% coverage for the outstanding balance of this exposure. This client represents 565 billion Colombian pesos, the new past due loans during the quarter. Excluding that exposure, the amount of new past due loans decreased by 25% versus 1 year ago. We expect to maintain the recovery path in 2019, and as we mentioned before, we forecast the cost of risk up to be at around 2%. Slide number 8 shows the evolution of expenses and efficiency. Due to seasonal factors, the first quarter of the year tends to have higher growth in OPEX, but when we consider the last 12 months, the growth was 5%. The main line that explains the growth in the quarter is the salaries and bonuses, which grew due to wage increases in Colombia and provisions of annual benefits to employees. The bank has made significant efforts to optimize processes and keep costs under control, and this showed yield benefits in 2019. We reaffirm our forecast of OPEX growth in line with inflation that will be at around 4%. As we can see in slide number 9, the bank continues its strategy to increase capillarity and migrate to low-cost channels. In line with this control strategy, the bank intends to keep growing in low-cost channels. During the first quarter of 2019, monetary transactions have increased at a rate of 16% year-on-year. The most significant part is the performance of mobile and banking agents, which have the fastest pace of growth, whereas physical branches are steadily declining. From this ongoing process, the outcome will be lower average transaction cost and the capacity to grow and expand its capability faster than the market. The next slide, number 10, shows the outcome of our business strategy in the consumer and SME segments in Colombia. We continue to expand the customer base, adding over 250,000 new customers during the first quarter of 2019. We want to highlight the role that our digital bank, Nequi, has in bringing new customers at a pace of 60,000 per month. It is important to highlight the ongoing growth in Colombia during the past few years. For this period, the bank has reached over 17% of market share, consolidated its position as the leader in consumer segment in Colombia. Finally, we emphasize our strategy to continue increasing the consumer portfolio, which contributes to the loan mix that we expect to have. After seeing the results of this quarter, I want to emphasize our expectations for the year. Growth will remain in line with our forecast, reaching 7% for the whole year. Regarding margins, we will continue optimizing the funding structure and promoting retail loans in the portfolio mix in order to maintain the NIM at a level of 5.8%. Fees should maintain a positive trend given the growing number of transactions in Colombia and launching new products in other geographies. We forecast 10% fee growth. In 2019, we see a normalization of the cycle. The stock of past due loans is not growing, and we forecast a cost of risk of 2%. We will keep our cost control initiatives in order to have an annual growth of OPEX at around 4% and reach a cost to income of 48.5%. With this combination, we forecast a return on equity at the end of the year of 12.5%. Regarding capital, the bank maintains a Tier 1 at a level of 10% and a total solvency ratio of 13.3%. This Tier 1 is 550 basis points above the minimum regulatory level. After elaborating on these topics, we want to open the line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Juan Carlos and Jose Humberto, and good morning, everyone, and congratulations on your strong bottom-line growth. My question is on the potential banking fee regulation. So from my estimates, it could be around 5% of total operating revenues, and I got to your number of 19-20% of net earnings in a worst-case scenario. And this potential regulation reminds me of what happened in Mexico last year. I remember some of the banks exploring to separate the rewards of the annual payments of credit cards to reduce the fees costs, or even to think to translate the impact to the client by increasing the interest rates of some products. At the end, no regulation was passed in Mexico. I think Congress understood the competition and that the digital transformation will help to reduce the banking fees. So from what you have analyzed, how much can this impact could be reduced by these ideas that happen in Mexico? And can you share with us what is the timeline on Congress? And finally, what is Bancolombia's senior management doing to approach Congress? Or I don't know if there's a banking association helping the banks to negotiate this. From my understanding, Colombia has a high deficit compared to the region, so removing the banking fees will imply lower taxes for the government. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. I am glad that you bring the Mexico example, because what I think is we are going through that path. Regarding to the questions you mentioned, we are having a very constructive a communication with different members of Congress and government. As you mentioned, this has an impact on the banking industry results, but for us the main impact is on the economy. And you mentioned one of the impacts is on tax collection, but also on not promoting new payment methods. So we are confident that in these conversations that we are having, the Congress and government and all parties involved and are going to understand that this is something that could affect not just the growth of Colombia, but also the performance of the income of the government. So we could say that we are having a very constructive conversations, and we believe that the outcome is going to be something that it's at the end good for Colombia.
And you.
The timeline. I'm sorry, you asked about the timeline. There is not a specific timeline. It depends on many factors how these discussions are going to take place in the future.
Okay, and on this timeline, it should happen this year or it could go for next year, just to understand how long it could take.
Ernesto, we don't know. Could happen this year, could be happening next year. There is not a specific timeline for the discussions.
Okay, perfect. Understood. And just given that this could be for a short or a long-term period, can you mention some ideas of what you are trying to do to lower the impact of 20% of your bottom line?
I mean, we are in the early stages in the conversations what we are having, and the banking association is leading those conversations. It's at the end showing the impact on the economy. We will prepare for any outcome. It depends on how this matter ends. It could range from adjusting our strategy, moving to different products. It depends on how these discussions evolve.
We ask you please limit yourself to one question only and re-queue for further. At this time, we have Jason Mueller from Scotiabank.
First, just a follow-up there. So how are you thinking about potential regulation in general? Is this just one theme, credit card or debit and credit card fees? Could there be other potential regulations that could impair your results? And if you can talk a little bit about what fees are we talking about in that 20% worst case scenario? That's all annual fees that are charged. What is in that calculation? If you can provide some additional color. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know, these are conversations that are happening in several markets. I could say probably around the world. So what we have to do as an industry, and particularly we as a bank, it's been efficient, work on our products to be the best for our customers, and that's what we have been doing in Bancolombia. The fees that we are talking about is fees around for credit cards, for debit cards, and some other fees associated with savings accounts. We expect that this, as I said in the last question, that these conversations evolve and at the end are going to result in a regulation that is good for Colombia and promote digital payment methods. That is at the end what is good for the economy. So we will move in that line.
At this moment, we have Gabriel Noriega from Citi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. Looking at your provisions, it was lowered on a quarterly basis as well as on a yearly basis, also on our estimates. I saw in the press release that you attribute around 20 beeps of the cost of risk to the constitution of provisions for the troubled corporate cases. So my question here is, how is the current coverage for these troubled corporates, and if you expect this to increase over 2019?
Thank you, Gabriel. Yes, in the case of that specific corporate of massive transportation system, the level of coverage that we are having right now is 67%, coming from 55% in the previous quarter. And again, the nominal terms of provisions at the end of the year could be at around 3.5 trillion Colombian pesos. So if you do the math, assuming the updating of the models in twice during the year, that number will be around it. So what we are expecting, in terms of the big corporates, right now we have a strong coverage ratio. Remember that for electric career we are 91%, for example. So all of them are on the highest level of coverage. So we don't expect a major impact. And on the consumer and commercial side, we are seeing a normalization of the cost of risk. That's the reason why we believe the 2% at the end of the year.
All right. And if you just allow me a follow-up here, how could we maybe look at a sustainable cost of risk for the bank going forward, being that you are now growing more in retail loans, as well as the fact that we may have been reaching the bottom in terms of NPL ratios?
Yes, for medium term, the new normalization cost of risk of the bank will be around 1.8%, assuming that we will have approximately a slope of 20% for consumer loans. So that will be the new standard for the bank, and we believe that will be achievable next year, 2020, 1.8, coming from 2.3% last year, this year 2%.
Our next question comes from George Carey from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning. Jorge Curi from Morgan Stanley. Congrats on the numbers. Two questions, if I may. The first one on your loan growth expectation of 7% for the year looks, I guess, low relative to expected economic growth. Consensus is expecting around 3.1, 3.2% GDP growth this year with relatively low inflation. So your 7% loan growth is 1.1 times nominal GDP growth, which, you know, looks low relative to the penetration of credit in Colombia and the economic recovery. To what extent that 7% is driven by your capital ratio, which, you know, with 10% Tier 1 capital and the ROE that you're delivering or expected to deliver this year, you're actually consuming capital, and whether or not you think, you know, more capital could allow you to grow the book faster. That's question number one. Second question is on Panama. Thanks for the transparency on all of the numbers in not only in Panama but in Central America. I think that's a great addition to your release. Banismo now with net income up 33%, ROE at 11%. Where do you think you are in the process of normalizing that business? How much more can ROE go to? What is the target and what is the timeline to getting there? Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. Regarding your first question, let me present a breakdown of the loan growth just to clarify that, for example, in the local operation, the loan growth will be at around 9%. At the international operation, which is one-third, the loan growth will be 5%. So if you combine those, plus the fact that the FX at the end of the year could be 3,100, beginning the year with 3,200. So that's basically market conditions, as we believe, as we present at the beginning. Loan growth the first quarter was weak on the corporate side. So all depends on market conditions. We don't foresee a strong recovery of the loans in terms of commercial loans. We are seeing a very good path in consumer. That was the main reason, market conditions, and again, the combination of the two different currencies. Regarding your second question, Banismo, the normalized return on equity for this year could be 12%. So they are right now becoming more efficient. Right now they are below 50%. Loan growth could be around 3 to 5%. Elections took place a month ago, so we don't foresee any particular concern regarding the political situation. So as we expected, loan growth there will be 4% and return on equity at around 12%, Jorge.
Our following question comes from Thiago Bencio from Itaú.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I'd like to ask about personal expenses. You had double-digit growth in personal expenses this quarter in spite of many cost-cutting initiatives that you are undertaking, such as closing the number of branches and the higher usage of digital channels. So I would appreciate if you could discuss the main reasons behind this increase, and would you expect to deliver efficiency gains in this line anytime soon? Thank you.
Okay, Thiago, regarding your first question, expenses, labor cost seems high, 10% growth annually. You have to consider three different factors. First, the annual increase of salary that was in Colombia around 5%. The second one is we have to increase the level of provision for bonuses, for the bonus plan for our employees. And third, again, FX variation during the year was almost 14%. That impact all the salaries that we have in US dollars. So those are the three main effects of this increase. But it's only seasonal. At the end, you'll see a 4% expenses growth.
And Thiago, let me elaborate a little on that. We continue our efforts on optimizing our distribution network in being more efficient on our channels. We are seeing a very positive trend on the digital channels that's also going to help. So we keep focus on being more efficient, and we are confident that we can deliver what we have say that it's going to be our expenses growth for the year, which we expect to be around 4%. So it will be different aspects. It will be efficiency. We will keep investing on digital, and we reaffirm our compromise with this strategy.
At this time, we have Julian Amaya, de Davivienda Corredores.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have one question. Could you please explain us the increase in the income from equity methods, please? And lastly, I would like to clarify if you could clarify us the impact of the regulatory procedure. This is 20% of net income on the Colombian operation or the whole operation? Thank you.
Thank you, Julian. I'm going to take your second question, and Jose Humberto will take the first one. When we are talking about the impact of the regulation, we are talking about that 20% of net income, worst case scenario for us at this moment is on a consolidated basis.
Regarding your first question, Julian, the equity method comes from one of our investments in real estate, the Viva Mall project that we have a joint venture with Éxito. That explains the number of $90 billion for this quarter.
Our next question is from Nicolas Riva from Bank of America.
Yeah, thanks very much, Juan Carlos and Jose, for taking my question. Just one question, a follow-up on the discussion on fees. So you said worst-case scenario, the impact would be 20% of net earnings. In that worst-case scenario, if I look at the P&L, there is one line, the credit and debit card fees, and I understand this applies to annual maintenance fees from credit cards and also use of ATMs. Are we talking about that whole line basically being reduced to zero in that worst-case scenario, or what fees would be impacted in that worst-case scenario? Thanks.
What we are talking about is the maintenance fee of credit cards, maintenance fee of debit cards, and some fees associated with savings accounts. So in that line, there are other figures. So we are not going talking about that complete line. It's some specifics of the line regarding mainly maintenance fees of debit and credit cards.
Okay, thanks, Juan Carlos.
Our following question comes from Yuri Fernandez from JP Morgan.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have a follow-on just on the risk model adjustments that you mentioned. I got that for the full year, cost of risk should be 2%, that provision should be around 3.5 billion trillion pesos. But what would be the impact of this risk model adjustment when we compare to the additional provisions from the corporate cases? Like, which one should be bigger? Should we expect more provisions from the corporate case? How relevant can this risk model adjustment be? Thank you.
Thank you, Yuri. Yes, the models that we will run in June and December, on each round, we are contemplating an increase in provision of around 100 billion Colombian pesos. And on specific cases, we are contemplating at around 150 billion extra Colombian pesos. So that's the mix, almost half and half, and part of the impact will be because of the two models, 100 billion each.
And just to clarify, when we are talking about 2% cost of risk, we are including those adjustments. So it's not something that is going to be additional. And in this, that 2%, we also consider the impact of provisions associated with the big customers and our forecast of how the risk of those customers are going to behave. So in the figures that we are giving you, all of those aspects are included.
Our following question comes from Sebastian Gallego from Credit Corp Capital.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the presentation. I have two follow-ups. In Panama, can you explain whether or not there was a non-recurring effect on provision expenses as the figure was actually much lower compared to previous quarters? Second question comes from Guatemala. Probably the weakest performance across the board. Can you explain the dynamics or what's going on and what can we expect going forward in Guatemala? Thank you.
Regarding the operation in Panama, Sebastian, what happened is we had an increase in provisions in the previous quarter. So today they are showing the models a much better performance, especially in consumers. So that explains why for this quarter the number drops. It's because of the economic cycle.
And regarding Guatemala, as you know, we acquired a majority stake in Guatemala in 2016, and we have been working on that operation to introduce Bancolombia standards. We are confident that the Guatemala operation is going, it's evolving. We still have a lot of work to do. We have a new management team in Guatemala, and we are confident that this new management team is going to continue the introduction of those practices. So for us, still 2019, it's a transition year, and we expect 2020 to be the year in which we will deliver much better results in Guatemala.
We ask that you please limit yourself to one question only and re-queue for further. At this time, we have Juan Tipa de Porvenir.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. Can you clarify how much from the new PDL formation comes from Colombia and how much from Central America? And if you can comment a little bit on the lower tax income tax rate for the period. Thanks.
Yes, the tax rate for this year will be the 31%. That's what we are forecasting right now. On the non-NPDLs, basically the adjustments and the correction comes from the Colombian book, because remember that the big deviation was the last year in which we touched a ceiling in terms of past due loans. So right now we are adjusting basically because of the Colombia operation that caused last year the deviation.
Our following question comes from Carlos Rodriguez from Otra Servinco.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the conference call. Could you give us some detail of the reduction of the loan interest margin to 5.9% and which segment drove this performance and if we should expect this the same number for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. The key explanation of the NIM was what happened in the previous quarter. Under IFRS 9, the pocket free interest, we have to apply a one-off increase of income of interest of 120 billion Colombian pesos. That explains, it seems that we dropped the NIM, but at the end of the day, normalizing, isolated the effect of that duration, we compressed the NIM only 10 basis points. What we expect this year, we expect the 5.8 based on the assumption that inflation, as you probably know, it is on the range of 3.25. We don't expect two hikes for interest rate, maybe one at the end of the year. So based on the assumption that the cost of funding will be stable, we are assuming that we will be able to sustain the NIM for the whole year in local currency and also in U.S. dollar.
Our next question comes from Alonso Garcia from Credit Suisse.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My question is regarding the overall impact of IFRS 16 in the P&L. You mentioned an impact, of course, in the expense, also an increase in depreciation. But what is the overall impact? I guess there is also a reduction in your OPEX given the elimination of the rental expense that we saw before. Could you elaborate on that point, please? Thank you.
Yes, Alonso, regarding IFRS 16, it has two impacts. First, at the beginning of the year, they impacted the balance sheet in terms of 1.7 billion new assets. That is in terms of the balance sheet. In terms of the P&L, it is affecting around 70,000 billion Colombian pesos. That is, I would consider marginal, but it is affecting, and it is affecting in two different lines. First, in interest expenses, it is affecting, and also it is affecting on depreciation. So at the end of the day, IFRS doesn't change the economic reality of the balance sheet, but affects NIM in a very low matter and affects also the efficiency level.
Our next question comes from Andres Jimenez from IMB Jimenez.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to talk a little bit more about strategy. Fintechs have been growing considerably during the last couple of years, and they're very strong right now in Colombia and starting to become strong in Central America. I'd like to know a little bit more what's the type of position of the bank in respect of fintechs. If you guys are going to participate or you're participating and where you're participating, and where would you see the future of the bank incorporating with this new development? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Andres, for your question. As you mentioned, fintechs are very active and are now participants of the market. I would like to highlight that the regulation in Colombia allows us now to invest in fintechs. So that's a very good tool for us, and we are using that capacity, and we are investing. Particularly, our focus is going to be around payments. So we announced an investment on a company 1 month ago, and we continue closely watching what the evolution of this market, and we are convinced that the joint ventures between fintechs and banks are going to be very powerful. So, to your question, we are going to be active. We are continuously looking at the market, who are the participants, and we will be taking the decisions or making the decisions that we need to do to become this trend something that is going to leverage our strategy.
Our next question comes from Natalia Corfield from JP Morgan.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My question is with regards to your capitalization. I was looking, this quarter, your Tier 1 capital was slightly down sequentially. And I believe this was due to payment of dividends and also an impact of IFRS 16 on the equity. Nevertheless, I was expecting a positive impact on Tier 1 this quarter because, as I understand, that's when Colombian banks capitalize earnings. So I'd like to know what drove this slight decline, and also your other RWAs declined also sequentially. And I was expecting an increase because of IFRS 16. So if you could comment on what exactly happened, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalia. Yes, you are right. The line in the balance sheet that grows very consistently in the last 2.5 years is equity. So we have been growing the capital in a very good pace. And again, because of the dividend payout, it drops to 10%, we expect to maintain the level, this number at the same level. IFRS impacted as well because, as you mentioned, IFRS 16 hit us a little bit, and that explains why our level is 10%. But if you compare with a year ago, we are having, again, a very solid Tier 1. So those are the factors that explain. We, under Basel III, we are expecting maybe an increase of 100 to 150 basis points. And during the year, at the end of the year, we are expecting to sustain this number of that level, 9.5 to 10%.
Our final question comes from Neda Olida from Luma Sales.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the call. I was wondering if the guidance you provided accounts already for the elimination of fees, and in particular your guidance for the ROE and the Tier 1 and the total capital adequacy ratios.
We are not including the impact of any regulation changes. So what we are doing is we are expecting how the discussions are going to evolve and when we have a clear understanding of what is going to happen, we will incorporate those forecasts, those impacts on our guidance. So we don't have, in the guidance that we are giving in this call, we don't have the impact of the potential new regulation.
We have no further questions at this time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I will now turn it back the presentation to Mr. Mora, Chief Executive Officer for Bancolombia, for final remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for your interest on Bancolombia results. We, as mentioned, are happy with the results of the quarter. The bank is performing according to our expectations. So we will continue on this trend, and we hope to see you on our second quarter conference call. Thank you, everybody, and have a good day.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.